Good morning. Welcome to Stony Creek Church this beautiful Sunday morning. I invite you to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along this morning with the message. If you're online, we welcome you to our service as well. Now, every week I converse with people who are in pain of one kind or another. Often it's tough to know what to say to a hurting person. I want to show kindness, compassion, and yet I don't want to pretend that I can fathom their suffering and thereby minimize it. I'll often pray with them, but I'm reluctant to share advice beyond the comfort of the scriptures. Often the best thing to do is just listen, just be a friend. It's not easy for a big mouth like me. Yet when it comes right down to it, so many of us live lives daily with pain of one kind or another. And we do need guidance how to make it through that pain, how to make it through each day when God calls us to live with the pain. He doesn't answer the prayer to heal, even though we beseech him to do that. He doesn't get us out of the tough spot. There are times where that happens. We need to know how to live through that. Today's message is entitled, When Pestered with Pain. Here's what we do when we have to just live with it. It's part 13 of our series, Gritty Grace. And it's sourced in 1 Peter, the book that we're studying together. It's a letter, actually, written by the Apostle Peter from the city of Rome in A.D. 63 or so. He's writing to some churches that were facing persecution. Persecution for their faith. These were people who were hurting. They were in pain, some of them from physical mistreatment, some of them from losing loved ones, some from rejection, family members, friends, some worried sick about what was coming, what might be coming. In the future, who will be next? Might it be me? Might it be my family? And of course, just people that are working through the daily grind. That can be painful when you're struggling. In our study last time, Peter instructed the church on the import of godly leaders, and that is so crucial during times of stress and suffering. You know, Peter was no stranger to pain himself. He was beaten, he was mistreated, he was imprisoned for his faith in Christ, and soon he would be crucified. And so he knows of what he speaks here. His advice is worth listening to. It's all wrapped up in our main idea, the one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else. If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. The Christian lifestyle makes pain less painful. Less painful. Look carefully at what the Apostle Peter prescribes, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. And when we come to the yellow print, Well, you know what to do. In the same way, he writes, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Well, please take note with me of three activities to occupy you while you put up with pain. The first is there on your outline. Number one, be humble. Humble. Humility, it's far more important than we realize. Did you know that pride was the original sin committed by Lucifer, who became the devil? And for many, it's at the root of our worst faults. For decades, I didn't think I had a pride issue, a pride problem, but I discovered I was blind to it, and it hurt me. As John Wayne put it, life is hard. It's harder if you're stupid. Right? How true. But humility, as you'll see here in these next four sub-points, humility reduces your pain. Let's look at the four ways it does so. A, you learn from those wiser than you. Peter says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Now recall, in the previous verses, Peter addressed the church leaders, the elders, the overseers, and the pastors. These are synonyms of offices, really one office in the church of leaders. Each of these titles has a different emphasis. And he's continuing that here in this text. But why does Peter call out the young people? Why does he single them out and say, hey, you young folks, you submit to your elders, your church leaders? Well, I remember how I was as a young man. Yeah, I deferred to my pastor and elders and so forth, but inwardly I suspected that I knew better, right? I was getting, I thought, a superior education. I was using up-to-date methods. I wasn't stuck in the past. So instead of soaking up their wisdom, their experience, I wanted to show them what I know, right? So I missed out, had to learn things through hard experience in many cases. You young people, don't make the same mistake. Let's look at the next way in which humility reduces your pain. B, God favors rather than opposes you. Peter quotes the proverb here that says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. The word favor here is the Greek word charis. It's elsewhere often translated grace. God shows grace to the humble, his undeserved favor. And that favor is empowering for us. You know, when I'm proud, I miss out on that. And guess what? God opposes me. Not as his enemy, but as a parent opposes a child's bad behavior, has to correct it. And that can be painful. You know, much of our pain is self-inflicted. When you choose against God's will, you're putting your will, your wisdom above his. And that's pride. Life becomes an uphill ride. It's like you're riding your bike uphill against a stiff wind. And because you're his child, you're going against his will. But when you humble yourself, when you turn around, that's what repent means, to turn around, you do a U-turn. You flip that bike in the opposite direction, and now the wind is to your back. And God's grace, his favor, is flowing to you and through you. The next way humility reduces your pain, C, is God elevates you. Peter says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, help me, that he may lift you up in due time. It's that in due time that we struggle with, right? When you put yourself lower, God puts you higher. But when you put yourself higher, he puts you lower. First time I got COVID back in 2020, I've had it a couple times. The first time was, that was the worst. I was miserable for days. I could barely move. And I was thinking to myself, God, why me? Don't I deserve better than this? But I knew as soon as that thought popped into my head, I thought, that is so stupid. That is so lame. Lord, if you gave me what I deserve, I'd be in hell. I'd wish to be back where I am now. You know, complaining is rooted in pride. Pride is rooted in the idea, I deserve better than this. Rather than, if the Lord has me here, it must be for a good reason. You see, I don't know better than he knows. And so I defer to him. He loves me. He knows I must need this. That's humility. That's the kind of attitude that brings peace. And God rewards it. God blesses it. He lifts you up. Finally, D there on your outline, the way humility reduces your pain is you pitch your anxiety. Peter says in verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Isn't that a great promise? We quote it, and rightly so. Sweet promise. But often we miss its connection to the context. Often the source of anxiety is our pride. We're anxious. I'm afraid that I might look bad, and so I become anxious. I'm scared of what people will say. My self-esteem will be bruised, and I get anxious. Or I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried sick with anxiety. You say, well, how is that pride? That doesn't sound like pride to me. Well, it is, because I think somehow these things are in my hands. They're under my control rather than in God's hands. That's pride. How many know from personal experience, as do I, that pride is, or anxiety is painful? You know that? Yeah. Oh, it hurts. But when you cast your anxiety on the Lord, you're relinquishing over to Him your so-called control of the outcomes. And this is humbling yourself. You're saying it's in His hands. It's not in my hands. And you pitch your anxiety and you reduce your stress. Well, let's look at the second thing. The first activity was be humble. The second activity to occupy you while you put up with pain is be heedful. Yeah, I laugh too. Heedful. You say that sounds like a kind of an odd word, a little old-fashioned there, isn't it, Randy? Yep. It is. You see, I needed an H word for my outline, and so heedful is what you get. It means vigilance. It means watchfulness. To be heedful means to be prepared. Let's look at verses 8 and 9 again. Peter says, be alert. There it is. Be watchful. Be heedful. And of sober mind, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You have an enemy, and he's not your cranky boss, not your unreasonable neighbor, or your in-laws, or your cranky, hard-to-get-along-with ex-spouse, or that politician you can't stand. Those are just tools in the hands of your enemy, your real enemy, and he uses them to get to you. We need to pray for them, be kind, forgive them, not hold grudges, but it's the devil, Satan, who's your actual enemy in real time. He's vicious. Often he's portrayed as a snake in the Bible, but here he's a lion. You know, in the ancient times and in Israel, there were a lot of lions around, and in other places where he's writing to these people. Well, you feared lions above any other predator. They were brutal, vicious. One could suddenly jump out seemingly from nowhere. Suddenly, without warning, and have you over for dinner. If you were traveling in a lion-infested area, you had to be extremely careful and joined, hopefully, by some men who were knowledgeable about attacks and equipped with weapons just in case. I have seen Christians devoured by Satan. Some of them didn't even know it, weren't even aware of it. They thought, well, life is fine. But if they could somehow see themselves in a spiritual mirror, could see their souls, they would observe a mutilated mess. They've drifted away, you see, from the protection of God's word. They've drifted from prayer, from the filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. They've drifted away from the fellowship of the church. They let their guard down and got torn to pieces, ripped to shreds. Don't let it happen to you. Prepare. Don't go unarmed. Be vigilant. Be heedful. Stay in the Word daily. Lean on the Lord in prayer and fasting. Confess your sins as soon as you commit them. Don't try to rationalize them. Don't try to explain them away or overlook them or sweep them under the rug. Confess them and get rid of them. Make yourself accountable to mature Christians, say in your small group, who will pray for you and support you and be a shoulder to cry on in tough times. Don't become lion lunch. Peter mentions here a favorite tool of Satan. It's his roar. Lions roar for many reasons. I was reading about it this week. One reason is to intimidate their enemies, their prey. Satan's roar is for intimidation. He devours you with deception. If he can bluff you into believing his lies, you will do his bidding, you see. But I want to tell you a little secret. It's for Satan, a shameful secret. He's embarrassed about it. He has been defanged, you see. Oh, yeah, he'll roar his fool head off, trying to scare you, but he has no teeth. Jesus has kicked his teeth in. He's very self-conscious about that. You bring it up in his presence and he gets defensive, gets angry. You see, Christ defanged the devil when he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. And when he arose gloriously, bodily from the dead, when you surrender your life to Christ, my friend, your sins are forgiven, and the devil's case against you goes up in smoke. He becomes the cowardly lion. Right? Remember him? Well, you see, as a believer, you have authority over the devil and his demons. You can see him like you see this cowardly lion. He can't harm you unless you let him, unless you believe his bluff. Resist him. You say, with what? With the truth. Resist him with the truth. Tell yourself the truth. Did you hear that, church? Tell yourself the truth. Believe the truth. Memorize the truth. This is why it's great to memorize scripture, like our scripture memory ministry does with the young people. Tell yourself the truth. When he roars at you, you hurl scripture at him. And when you do, he will flee like a frightened rabbit. Let's look at the third activity to occupy you while you put up with pain. Be hopeful. Be hopeful. Let's say you take two people. They have the same kind of health. They have the same age and constitution and so forth. but you put them in a filthy, dark, damp prison, dungeon, with only rotten food to eat and rancid water to drink. And yet, one of them survives, but the other one dies. How so? Conditions are precisely the same for both. What made the difference? This was observed in the during the Holocaust in the Nazi concentration camps. The difference? The one who lived had hope. The one who died had no hope. No purpose for living. No hope. Hopelessness, it's painful. It can kill you. But hope gives life. Ours is a superlative hope. Look at how Peter ends up once again here, verses 10 and 11. And the God of all grace, this whole series has been about grace, God's gritty grace. And here it is again. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Are you in pain today? God might not take it away, at least not yet. You may have to live with it for a while. But if you live for Jesus, the pain is less painful. Entrust yourself to him, truly. Don't just say the words. Give yourself, your life to him as your Lord and Savior. Tell yourself the truth. Don't be devoured by the devil, by his deception. You know, if you're not born again, if you've never had that inward transformation that comes as a result of entrusting yourself to Jesus, if that hasn't happened to you, the devil already has you. To him, you're his roadkill. He's got you. To escape his jaws, you have to repent. Surrender to the other side. Entrust yourself to Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me see if I can improve on John Wayne. Life is hard. It's even harder without Jesus.